Hello and welcome to the Dead Air Dudes. I'm Izzy.
I'm Rocker. Hello, Dead Air Dudes Nation. Strong. Hello,
Dead Air Dudes strong.
And behind it. Now, I didn't say strong in the sense of breaking down buildings or choking somebody out, but we are going to take a critical look at the Amazon Prime series, The Terminal List, executive produced by Chris Pratt and also starring.
Yeah, and it's based on a series of books by Jack Carr, who was an ex-Navy SEAL. And he has these books based on this character. What's his name? James Reese, I do believe, right?
Yes, Reese for the most part.
Played by none other than Chris Pratt. You also have Riley Keough playing his wife, Lauren. You have Taylor Kitsch playing Ben Edwards, his best friend. You have Constance Wu playing Katie Berenek. Arlo Mertz playing his daughter, Lucy. And Jean Triplehorn playing Secretary Hartley, among other people. You have J.D. Pardo playing the cop, the FBI, trying to hunt them down. And you have, I do believe, who was it? It was, I forgot his name. Ty Courtney playing Steve Horn. And we can go on and on, but, you know, then we'll be asked.
All in all, a pretty good cast.
Yes, pretty good cast. You have 8 episodes. Each episode about an hour. So you have a full palette here. And the story basically goes, you have Reese, like I said, played by Pratt, is he's a leader of a...
He's a SEAL.
There you go. Yeah, the Navy SEALs. And they go on a mission, and he's their leader. And they get ambushed, basically. They get ambushed, and shit goes crazy. Now, the fact they got ambushed is overshadowed by the fact that one of the SEALs was having headaches, and they had a civilian who was with them, was giving them intel, and someone tripped an explosive and basically, you know, brought the whole tunnel down and everything, you know. So when they all get back and Reese is one of the few survivors, he wants to know what the hell happened. All right. Now, Rocco, should we go full spoilers here?
Yeah, so warning, full spoilers. And the spoilers are not completely far-fetched and unpredictable, no. As Izzy alluded to in his quick review, and most of you know, the show does not have these explosive twists. There's built-in twists into the plot. I think as you follow the series through, you kind of figure out what's going on, who's right behind it. They don't really make any bones about it. It's how it's presented. And again, we are not making any bones about it. It's presented in a commando, gut 'em all, old-fashioned, stalker, branded type of assault. Yeah, so it is a heavily violent,
yes,
extremely violent series. And again, they make no bones about catering to that audience.
Yeah.
And now we can't go any further without addressing that there's been some controversy and backlash, especially from critics who label the series very right-wing, very, what's the term, male...
Toxic
masculinity, you know, rudimentary testosterone-filled slaughtering.
I mean, look, it makes no bones about it. The Terminal List is basically a hit list of the people that he wants to kill and get revenge of killing his platoon.
And with a double meaning that his platoon were experimented on by the own government, by corporate drug America, and everybody on that list of SEALs was designated for termination because they didn't want those tumors and the results of that test to be exposed. And in a screwed up moral justification, they decided, they being whoever's the conspiracy guys in charge, decided to give them, to honor them death on the boots, on the ground, versus a long drawn out illness, which is a load of crap because it's all cover up. And that's the gist of the entire plot.
Yeah. So somewhere along the lines, Chris Pratt, he's in early on, you're trying to figure out with him what's real, what's not. We come to find out he had a tumor and that things that he sees didn't really happen, or did they happen? And his family gets assassinated, and then he has to, you know, he serves the next 7 episodes trying to figure out, and like I said, you know, check people off of the terminal list. And it's a terminal list because he's dying. So,
right. So it's him too. Now, I more compare it to the Bourne Identity type of series where he systematically goes through suspect A, B, down the up the pyramid until he can pinpoint the head person in charge who okayed everything. His tactics are completely brutal.
Dude, I thought I was watching an 80s movie. I mean, to the point where he gets one of the Sicarios and he eviscerates him, and for no reason whatsoever except for just awesomeness, he pulls out his intestines and just hangs them, you know, on a hook.
He stakes part of his intestine into a wood post with an axe and then tells him to walk. To drag out his intestines and basically eviscerate himself, which I thought was awesome. And this, see again, yes, I will make no bones about it that there are times that I'm in the mood for an all-out blood fest, slug fest. Let's bring Rambo back. Now, I can tell the difference between that kind of visceral violence and real life, but I can enjoy that for what it is. And in my opinion, the series display that in great fashion because it's kind of hard to reinvent that.
Yeah. Now, let me interject one thing. Do you think it's worse in a show like this where it's all quote unquote, I mean, I guess it's, I won't say it's patriotic, but it's kind of also, you know, gung-ho, you know, military and, you know, getting revenge and everything, as opposed to watching, you know, a murderer, a monster, a killer in a horror movie do these things, you know, which is worse?
Yeah, because that's mindless slaughter, slashing. When you watch something, let's take, for example, off the top of my head, Henry, A Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's demented, it's depraved, it's sociopathic, there's so many problems with it. Yes, there's some mental illness, a lot of mental illness. Here, I dare say, and of course, Raka is now inviting the host of haters and critics, but there's something heroic here. His wife and daughter were slaughtered as part of this plot to blame him. So he's getting revenge on his wife and daughter. That's secondary because he's getting revenge on his entire team. And this is all before he knows and uncovers what they did to him. So it's him, his wife and kid, his entire platoon, anybody else who these people experimented casually on their own U.S. troops. And unfortunately, I do have family members in the military, and I know this plays, I can almost assume this plays into Chris Pratt being the executive producer and starring in this series, because his brother, who also has taken a lot of flack, is an officer, but also served in the military. Mm-hmm. So I think myself and him, and I'm speaking, you know, assuming, has a little bit more of a front row seat to what goes on with post-traumatic stress and what goes on to, I'm going to say it again, And I don't mean to open the door to a lot of other hosts of
things. Open the door. Open the door.
But a huge segment of our veterans who put their lives on the line are treated like shit. They're discarded. They're not giving benefits. They're not giving transition back into society. There's very little. Everybody claims there's this and that, but are walking wounded, do not have the quality of life you think they should deserve.
Agreed.
I'm not saying everything they do is right, but they have no choice. They're given orders. They follow. They execute. And for absolutely minimal support on the return back. I think that's what's missed here. I think a lot of people just see at the violence, but they don't see that it was in the series. This was addressed in the series with a lot of statistics.
They're going to miss the point. They're going to see all the violence. They're going to see all the explosions.
Masculinity.
Killing. They're going to talk to masculinity. They're going to see an act of domestic terrorism. And they're going to, you know, see it as, oh, do the ends justify the means? I mean, they won't see but past that. Even when you have Constance Wu, who plays the reporter, who's trying to uncover this whole thing. And
she is the voice of moral compass here.
Right.
And she allows you to take a beat and to breathe and let things play out. Because other than that, I applaud them, the editors and the directors, that beyond her parts, it's bang, bang, bang. There's not much of a slow pace. It's not a developing drama. No. This is let's go, which I can appreciate because they are 45, 50 minutes long per episode, but so much happens in it that you are both entertained, captivated, and yeah, holy shit. And it's not as incredible as, say, The Boys or something else, because that's just fantasy. But
no, these are
tactical.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell, I can tell, and I've actually consulted a couple people that I know that are in military or ex-military, that a lot of the fighting tactical drones, strategy, just military play is very accurate.
Now, did they enjoy the series?
They love it. And they reiterated how they're treated like a piece of shit. Both training, deployment, in combat, return home. For all that they do. And I do not mean to make this a forum to be on a soapbox for veterans' rights, but I think I'd be remiss if I don't mention that as an aspect to the series.
Of course. And I'm pretty sure.
And again,
let's keep in perspective
for our angle, we're trying to target mostly on the actual film play out, as opposed to just centering on political, social aspects. If we did that, we could pick apart almost any.
Yeah.
Any project. So.
But that's unfortunately how times are going now, that now there has to be an issue when before it wasn't an issue. I mean.
Right. I mean,
I don't remember back in the 80s, people talking about, you know, First Blood and him going through his PTSD and that whole thing, and people, you know, commenting on that. People were more saying on how violent and graphic the movie was, and, you know, as opposed to looking at the deeper meaning behind it with the book and the whole nine yards, you know.
But yeah, people see past that in the more recent film tour in that era, Full Metal Jacket, which I do believe was a fine film, but it's so loaded with critique, social and political, military, diplomatic, everything. But the first half of the movie is centered on how they didn't get into combat, how the stress of military training is not for everybody. That
movie is, and this is my opinion, if Stanley Kubrick did not direct that movie, and didn't make it like that, it would have been some other director, it wouldn't have been such a big deal.
Oliver Stone.
Sorry?
Wasn't it Oliver Stone?
No, Full Metal Jacket. I think it was Kubrick. Wasn't Kubrick Full Metal Jacket?
Well, either way, I agree what you're saying, because there's a certain insight and perspective in filming and why that film is what it is.
Freaking me
Kubrick,
out.
Yes. So getting back to this, I'm not a showrunner. I'm not a four. I just thoroughly enjoy the series. That's just me. Regardless of the predictability, and you know, it's not like it's reinventing the wheel with dialogue and everything.
The technical series worked. I mean, it was action packed and enjoyable. As, like I mentioned in my quick review, it was utterly predictable, and you knew from a mile away who was in charge and all this other stuff. And there were some parts that were a bit over the top, considering, you know, he's, you know, dying.
Well, he takes a fall from a mountainside, right? Yes. And this is, I just laughed at this part, because he did fall, because the only way he can escape, they're on him like white on rice. And from the poor man that had to do this, it looked like he broke his hip in six places. And he continued to walk out of there.
He bounced off that, you know, bad boy. And now what gets me, and again, you know, continue the spoilers, it's a series of books. So there's a very good chance that he survives, at least for another season or two or three.
Should this get greenlit? And man, this is Amazon Prime, people.
Well, look,
this didn't pop up on Hulu or Shudder or.
It is the highest. Oh, I'm sorry. The most watched series on Prime, believe it or not.
So Prime okayed this. Prime greenlit it. They backed it. And again, spoilers abound. He finishes his list, and he, in heartbreaking fashion, for the last person on his list. Of course, it's always the one closest to you. I'll leave it at that. And he looks at the map. Now, I had to go back three or four times to see where was he looking on the map. Where is he heading?
Oh, shoot. It was.
So I'm not going to spoil that part. People can go watch it. Hell, you can fast forward to the last episode and go to the end. Either way, the open door is there for season two.
Of course.
He's not dead yet.
No.
He is the walking dead, but he's not dead yet.
Yeah, he could keep popping them pills and, you know, keep it going.
The fighting to me was in the realm of realism. Like, yeah, it can't happen the way somebody who's trained killer could. My issue, it's not a big issue, is he took out a lot of heavy hitting, very insulated and secured, high profile people in ways that, yes, no doubt about it, I'm not defending it. It's 100% absolute domestic terrorism. It is assassination of political high-ranking military. I mean, people you wouldn't think are even approachable. He got them. He got them good. He got them in glorious fashion. If you want to watch it just for that, watch it just for that. It's the modern-day Northman. So it's just amazing, his success rate. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but also, isn't he, I mean, I guess he's pardoned, right? I'm assuming, right?
No, the last television broadcast that the journalist was watching, I believe, showed that the search is on for him. So he's still a man wanted, if not the number one FBI's most wanted. He's number one in the world, CIA, FBI, national security, you name it. I mean, because a politician, an admiral, a few head officers, a guy, a billionaire corp fund and decorated doctor. I mean, you name it. Besides, beyond taking out the Pope, there's not much left that everyone's reachable. So if there's any unfinished business left, it has to be with the people his original mission while a member of the SEAL, right? Which my speculation is to go back to the heart of his mission land and finish the job, find the intel on those guys and do it, because everybody else in America is done. He died.
I mean, you could always go and try to get the scientists who created the drug. That the guy got them all messed up anyway. But then that's, I mean, you know, talking about the Punisher we're talking about now. We're losing kind of a. All right, but all in all.
Well, yeah. All in all, I found it to be an enjoyable flick. Like, I would give it. Since we're going down this masculinity toxicness, I would give it 850 calibers out of 10 on my hit scale.
All right. Now, I enjoyed it a lot, and I thought Chris Pratt was pretty damn good in it, and as well as all the primary actors were good. So I still can't get past the freaking the predictability, and it pissed me off. So I'm going to go with 750 cal.
Seven. And I understand. I totally acknowledge. And I
wanted a little lower in my quickie review, but yeah, I mean, you know, 6.5, 7 is about right.
It's an enjoyable watch. It's like one identity.
Anyone who's a fan of action and all this stuff and Chris Pratt, and you know, it was good.
Actually, I think his performance is actually tremendous, to the point that I understand he's ready and he has left the MCU and everything on to bigger, better things, because this is a very involved project. You could not tell me, filming, I don't know, a total of almost 8 hours.
Rock, are you breaking news here saying that Chris Pratt left the MCU, or do you know something that we don't?
I have heard rumblings that he himself, also with the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's like the last feature hurrah. He could have spot show, you know, appearances for should the Marvel decide to do another type of Endgame. But I think, from what I heard, Guardians of the Galaxy is the last also for him, as far as a feature star. Not to completely tangent into that, but I heard that also he has taken some liberties with the character in that last hurrah, which seems really anti of the criticism he's receiving for this. And let me reiterate, everybody out there, he's an actor. Like all actors and actresses, they are portraying a character to the best of their ability. It should not, and people should separate it. It should not just, it's not a speaking point to how they feel or their personal interests and their social political views. It's a role.
Yeah, but I hate when people has kind of, you know, he hasn't been.
Yes, he has made some remarks that are.
First, people weren't crazy about the whole Anna Faris situation, and then, you know, then his whole super religious kind of, you know, thing. So some people aren't fans of that, and you know,
which is why I believe that most actors and actresses and all that should just shut it when it comes to their own political and social beliefs. Yeah. Case in point, so Tom Cruise is a Scientologist, right? But he doesn't go out of his way to push his ideals onto people because he knows better, because it doesn't help his business.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's the bottom line, and that is the truth. I can't go to my job and start spotting out every belief I have.
No, because...
yes, because the bad things will happen. So anyway, to wrap things up, I believe it's an 8. You believe it's 6-7. We both believe it's on the plus side of not being trash. It is quite enjoyable. Give it a try. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, check it out. Watch the first episode. Watch the first couple episodes and see how you feel.
Yeah.
As always, please comment, like, subscribe to our YouTube channel and, of course, our podcast. You can find anywhere and everywhere, Spotify, Apple, Stitch, iHeart, all that good stuff.
Thanks very much. Thank you, Dead or Dudes Nation, for your support and feedback. And remember to always save the whales.
Take care, guys.